start with our meeting. And I want to take this opportunity, honorable members, to heartily welcome all of you to this important special meeting of the Select Committee. But I must also express my appreciation for the presence of the MEC for COPTA in the Northwest, Honorable Gordon Kehakine, who is here to brief us about the notice of Section 1391C of the Constitution in the Mabusa local municipality. I must indeed, Honorable MEC, thank you very much so that every time when we invite you to our meeting, you accordingly respond, and as it were, we're dealing with the imperatives of the Constitution, because as the House of Parliament, it is quite important that we comply with what the Constitution enjoins us to do. In line with what we are going to receive from the Northwest government in relation to the notice itself, we have invited the legal team from Parliament to also brief us on the legal implications of the decision, because as you are quite aware, Northwest government is under Section 100 of the Constitution, and accordingly, in this respect, there is a litigation that is ensuing between a municipality in the Northwest, the Kagiso Molopo municipality, which challenged the authority of the provincial government, which is placed under Section 100 of the Constitution, to invoke Section 139 of the Constitution. It will be quite important that, other than the briefing from the department itself, we also get a legal opinion prepared by our legal division here in Parliament in terms of how we must proceed forward, so that as we engage in the issues, we are well informed and quite aware of the legal ramifications of any decision that we are going to take in line with the matter that is before us. On that note, as I said, you are heartily welcome to this important meeting. The next item on the agenda is apologies. Any apology? The only person who's missing here is Honorable Mthethwa. The rest of the members, I can see, they are all, and Honorable Motsamai. Honorable Motsamai has got a bereavement in Johannesburg. Honorable Zandamele?
No, thank you, Chair. Honorable Makawase is speaking in for Honorable.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. How are you, Honorable Makawase?
Well, how
are you? Are you good? Good, thank you very much. Without wasting any time, can I invite the Honorable MEC, Kehakilwe, to brief the committee on the notice of Section 139-1C in respect of Mabusa. Over to you, Honorable MEC.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Chair of the Select Committee. Let me also take this opportunity to greet all honorable members of officials of NGOP and everybody present here. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Chair. And as you have rightly indicated, we are here to make a presentation to NGOP in observing the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa about the intervention, the decision of the Provincial Executive with regard to the intervention at the Mambusa local municipality, and that is mainly placed in that municipality under Section 139(1)(c) of the Constitution of the Republic. I'll deal with the people's background and talk to some substantive matters that led to firstly the invocation of Section 139(1)(b) at Mambusa, and then go to the state of municipality since that Section 139(1)(b) intervention was implemented, talk to some conclusions and recommendations of this report. Chair, as indicated, we are here to present as the MEC of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs from the Northwest decision by the Provincial Executive Committee to dissolve Mambusa local government in terms of Section 139(1)(c) of the Constitution of the Republic, and also to solicit support from National Council of Provinces. As a background, Chair, the Northwest Provincial Executive at its special sitting on the 2nd of May resolved to place Mambusa local municipality under Section 139(1)(b) of the Constitution for a period of time, to a maximum period of time. That is how the executive decided then. And this decision was duly communicated to the Minister of Culture, Provincial Legislation, and National Council of Provinces through a notice which was sent on the 6th of May, in compliance, of course, with Section 139(3)(a) of the Constitution. And the MEC responsible for local government then appointed and mandated by Provincial Expo, the Intervention Chief, and developed the terms of reference in consultation with the Premier. Talking to the team, because normally the approach we have decided to take at the province is that we don't only send administrator, but we also send those who support administrator. It might be on governance matters, on financial matters, or on technical matters, depending on the situation that we have. Chair, some challenges and what we call failure of the to perform executive obligations by Mambusa local municipality. Firstly, we want to talk to service delivery and indicate that there is a collapse of service delivery at that municipality, which is characterized by refuse removal is not being done. Just ordinary basic cleaning of town is not being done. And not, there was no even a schedule to do that. The interruption of the supply of water due to lack of maintenance and non-payment of water services. And thirdly, the municipality could not spend its weak funds. This is a municipality that in the past financial year was at zero until intervention was taken and placed the mix of this municipality at the district. So the district municipality is actually in performing the function on behalf of the local municipality. And all the money for MIG of this municipality were actually transferred to the district so that it could assist. So I'm trying to explain that this has some kind of a history that municipality could not perform its own functions. Poor maintenance and operations of the infrastructure, that the infrastructure is not actually being maintained. And now in terms of the law, Section 1521(b) of the Constitution provides that municipality must ensure that services are provided to the communities in a sustainable manner. And also Section 1521(d) indicates that municipality must promote safe and healthy environment. So these are the issues that the municipality must perform. These are executive obligations because they are backed up by a law. And in this case, we are referring to the Constitution of the Republic. And therefore, municipality has failed on this executive obligation. With regard to governance, share governance and administration, this is the municipality where removal of mayor has been happening quite often, removal of the former mayor, suspensions of current municipal manager. This municipality from May to date has actually changed mayor 3 times, just in this period of 5 months. So you can see, imagine how councillors are behaving. It just depends how we wake up. I can pull some of my friends. We are ready, let's go to council meeting. Let's topple that one, put another one. Municipality has not been well in terms of pension fund, medical aid, let's just say what we call the third party, non-payment of such. To the extent that all the equipment were actually taken by the sheriff because of them not being able to pay for third party until we intervened. And when we intervened, this was one of the tasks that we managed to resolve. Audit of this municipality for the past 7 years, this municipality has not been getting the same. And you can't trace any council committee participating or processing this particular issue. Your impact is there, which is supposed to look at some of this, including the writing, UIF and W, at this municipality. And that is a committee of council. It is chaired by council and is non-functional. The municipality, therefore, has a backlog also in terms of oversight reports, 9 financial years that the municipality has not been able to report in terms of oversight work. And it demonstrates the weakness from the council. Council also, as you know, honorable members, that the council is responsible for this particular issue. And also we are referring this to section 153A of the Constitution in terms of municipality being able to structure and manage its administration, the budget processes, and ensure that priority is given to the basic needs of the people. And also 129 of MSA to consider annual report and adopt oversight. So we are saying they have not been given so. They are not being given as councillors of that particular municipality. On finance, Chair, the municipality is experiencing financial distress. The draft budget or an ID of 2019-20 was not tabled at council. That's the basic thing that a mayor must be able to table before council the draft, and then they must go into community participation. Those things did not happen. The budget adopted for 2018-19 is structurally imbalanced and not aligned to the IDP. Of course, the Department of Provincial Treasury has been on site to assist this particular municipality with regard to budget to make it balanced with the IDP. The total outstanding debtors amount to 230 million as at February 2019, of which 210 is outstanding for more than 181 days. So the issue of 30 days does not apply to this particular municipality. It is being ignored. And we are also referring to section 153 in terms of why we say this is an executive obligation. The municipality is unable to service the debt owed to creditors, and especially ESCOM. ESCOM remains a problem. Only last week we had also a visit by ESCOM, and this municipality is listed as one of those municipalities where ESCOM wants to shop for the whole community. So you can see challenges that we are faced with. Total debt owed to ESCOM is 57 million as of February, and this is also more than 30 days, which says the municipality is not able to adhere to the legal processes. And section 95 of Municipal Business Act provided that the account officer must put settlement and control in place for credit control and debt collection. Now, Chair, since the invocation of section 1391D, intervention in this municipality, the intervention team started effectively from the 8th of July and it was not really well accepted. I must indicate that it was me and nobody else who visited this municipality, called the council meeting to introduce an intervention team, to go through the terms of references with them. I did not send another person. But really the situation was not good, that some councillors did not want to accept intervention. So the environment became unconducive for implementation of the intervention team. As on some days, the intervention team would be blocked to enter offices. And this is done by, amongst others, councillors physically being present, not taking other people. Physically being present, going to the office of the administrator, saying you must leave our area. Even today, there are still community members, of course, who continue to destabilize the intervention. Some are sent to demand employment. Some are taking advantage of our youth that are unemployed. Some give them alcohol to go and disrupt meetings. Some are given alcohol, drugs to go and disrupt meetings and disrupt the work of the administrator. The situation of state of municipality is worse than before, and the challenge experienced in the implementation of 1391. The intervention can be summarized as follows. In March, the majority of councillors convened a special council meeting to remove the mayor using Section 29 of Municipal Structures Act. And this meeting was not properly constituted. However, they continued with their action. And that resulted in municipality having two mayors, because the one who was removed actually was contesting the removal in terms of the processes. The other one who came in saying, I am the mayor. In May, the other mayor resigned, and the municipal manager was also suspended, resulting in the appointment of ACMM. And the municipality found itself having two kind of municipal managers also. The instability resulted into a number of non-compliance, including failure, as I indicated before, to table the IDPN budget and also final IDPN budget in time. Even after Section 1391B intervention, councillors again in September convened special council meeting with a motion to remove the mayor, elected another mayor, ignoring the advices from the intervention team on the process of changing such a motion. You know the law requires that if you intend changing either speaker, changing the mayor, you have to give a notice in advance. Notice must be issued that the council that is going to be is intended to make a change in terms of the mayor from the municipality or speaker from the municipality. So this was the thing that were not observed by the councillors as we did the thing. Currently, council is sitting with two mayors, and they were not paid in September, and the newly elected mayor even wrote to the bank of the municipality, instructing the bank to change signature. You can see how councillors behave, that the councillor is able to write to the bank and say, change signature. So those are the things that we came across there. In July 2019, councillors closed the municipal gate at the main offices and demanded that the administration team vacate offices. And staff were, also the staff was held hostage. No one was allowed to leave. And this was done, as I said, rented staff. I use the word rented staff. So some of them really come here to this things, do these things, they can't even see what they are doing, because some are under influence as they go and do these things. The intervention resulted in service delivery being halted for some period, more than a month. Offices were again closed by this rented staff for a period of more than a week, demanding employment. Because when now they don't achieve, they then say to them, go and demand employment from the employees. Currently, two councillors are giving parallel instructions to the municipal officials, and that has led to the division among the staff. And both of them try to convene council meeting without success. Committees are not sitting, that is what Section 39 committee for councillors. So the provincial executive has this meeting on the 25th, therefore resolved due to the deterioration deteriorating situation and non-cooperation of Transnet Palestina to dissolve my municipality by invoking Section 139(1)(c). And I have highlighted what the section states there. I won't repeat it, Chair, members are aware. The provincial EPSCO then, to go on with this, will then have to ensure that the administrator is in place to implement the intervention on behalf of the executive. Of course, subject to approval by NCOP, approval by the minister, which is the constitution is in place, what has happened within 40 days after decision has been notice has been communicated. Decision has been taken and notice has been communicated to both the NCOP and the minister. So section 139(1)(c) of the constitution stipulated if a council is dissolved in terms of this, 1393 is indicating what should happen. We must submit a written notice to both the NCOP and the cabinet member, relevant provincial legislature, which we have done, and if there is no other decision within 14 days, then we can ensure that the administration, the intervention starts. So it is against this background that we are therefore making this submission for support and approval by the National Council of Provinces, so that we concur. I must indicate, Chair, that the Minister of COPTA fortunately happened to be also the same person who chairs the IMTT, that team that has been sent dealing with the intervention of the province, and has been abreast with this particular matter. We did meet, we did talk to this particular situation. And I must say also, Chair, as you alluded to, that there is a court case of Capitan Omolopo, which we are appealing. We are appealing because we have raised quite a number of issues there. The ruling was on the basis that ESCO does not have power to take that decision. But we want to prove to the court that we had concurrence from the then Minister of Tize, directing, because this Department of Coca and Provincial is not under 101B, it's under 101A, and it was with directives from the Minister, from IMCT, and we have been working with those particular directives that were given to us, including the placing of certain municipalities under 139. Then the Minister then, Honorable Chize, visited the province and visited this quite number of municipalities and came up with municipalities that are saying, he was saying, need intervention. So we want to submit that to the court because we are confident that another court will take a different decision. But thereafter, Chair, I must indicate that other municipalities tried to use Capital Meta and failed still in the same court. We had who tried the alert. We had recently J.B. Marks who tried the alert and citing Capital Omolopo, and the same court, High Court in Masiki, actually did not agree with them. The J.B. Marks, they lost with court for them, which is very bad because they want to use taxpayers' money for service delivery to pay the cost of the court. Rajo also lost with court in the court of law. Some councillors of Mamusa, three councillors, if my memory says me, also took us to court to say intervention must not happen. But they did not do it as councillors. They did it as individual members who are councillors. But they also failed in the same High Court of Mafike. And they cited Capital Omolopo issue, but they did not proceed. So we are sitting with this situation where now, after failing in the court of law, now illegal means are being used to obstruct the intervention to make it not work. So that is the situation that we are operating in, Chair. We are mindful of that particular court decision. And we are attending to it. So in short, Chair, that is what I can say. I think I should add my presentation here. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable MEC. We are now going to proceed by allowing our legal division to present its opinion in relation to this matter vis-a-vis the court case that is pending, the appeal that is pending by the provincial government in relation to the Kagisano Molopo matter. Over to you, Pumelelo. Am I right? Good.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to all the members and everybody in the house. Chairperson, with your permission, I was hoping you would allow members to have their questions back so that once there are those responses, I can do my presentation, because right now I also have just some few clarity questions for the Honorable MEC that my opinion would require to have before I can venture with any legal position in this sense, considering what has been just said and presented before the committee.
But in the past, you presented an opinion to us, isn't it, sir?
Yes, Chairperson. I could proceed with that one, and in light of the questions that the Chairperson has just posed, that's not a problem. But I thought, in order for me to capture everything in respect of Mamusa as well, some of those few clarity questions would require an understanding first.
Okay, it's okay. Let me hear what other members have got to say. Honorable Mikalakis, Honorable Mola, Honorable Dutoy, Sandamela, Tetra, Fayela, and I finish with Honorable Shay. Honorable Nita, Honorable Shay. You'll come after Honorable Detour. Oh, I take the line. Actually, I move this side, go that side, and let me start with you. Yes.
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, I just want to know, in terms of the appeal process, how, where are we in that process?
Thank you, Chair. A string of questions for the department, but what I would like to request is, I think to get a sound legal opinion is also important for me. My proposal would be that we allow the legal advisor to ask a question to the department, get clarity on that, so that she can provide us with a proper legal opinion. And once she's got her clarity and she's provided us with that opinion, then for us to be in a position to ask both of them questions so that we don't go back and forth. So for her to get clarity, give us the legal opinion, and then for us to engage both of them.
I think it's a fair approach. Is that okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, fine. Mamangema?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think my first question for out of the presentation would be to understand, firstly, the intervention in terms of Section 139(1)(b), the MC indicated that it was invoked as of 8 July 2019. I would appreciate clarity as to the position in respect of that one, and whether it did receive the approval of the House, the NCOP. Appreciating that if it was invoked on the 8th of July 2019, there is still some time left before the 180 days lapse. That is my main question in respect of the indication that there already been a Section 139(1)(b) intervention that was imposed in respect of the same municipality. That is now to be dissolved if the NCOP grants the approval within the 14 days from the 9th of October, because I understand the letter for the Chairperson of the NCOP dated the 9th of October 2019, which is what has been presented today about. That basically would be my clarity that we would need to get to compliance and we need to speak to that as well in my opinion.
Very simple question.
No, thanks, Chair. No, the decision to put this municipality under Section 139(1)(b) was taken on the 6th of May, 2019. It was taken on the 2nd of May, 2019, and on the 6th of May, a notice was sent to the House, to the Minister. And where we are, the Minister did send a letter within 28 days to concur with 1391B at Mabusa. NCOP did visit the municipality. The chair is better placed to talk to what happened when NCOP visited the municipality. So all of the processes of 1391B were followed.
We were there for the benefit of the House on the 27th of August. And that we still have time from our side. We have not yet approved or disapproved the intervention in terms of peace. Any other questions from your side? Then proceed with your legal opinion. Then I will follow the line in relation to our expenditure.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is an interesting scenario, Chairperson. In light of the legal framework, and as we indicated,
Chair, the fact that we did some oversight in that municipality, I think it would be fair that we comment first before we get the legal or opinion. I tell you why, Chair, because there are things that we have observed that she might not have been aware of. So for me to allow the legal, it is going to tighten up without commenting on the matter.
Let me remind you what the legal opinion is about.
I know, Chair, the legal opinion is about empowering us as to check the correct decision. But for that, I'm asking, Chair, that why don't we deal with the matter so that the legal officer will have the full briefing as to what exactly has happened. Because we are from that municipality,
yes,
we know what happened, we were there, so that let's comment on that first, then the legal person can advise us.
Okay. Honorable Intato, if I may clarify this, the legal opinion is not about the oversight. It is not about our observations. It's not about our vision. It is about the authority of the provincial government to intervene in terms of B or C of the Constitution. That is the legal opinion it's all about. It's not about that you want us to speak to now. I think we are in order. That's my view. I think we are in order. Let us get that opinion whether are we in order in relation to the legal processes before we deal with our view, our observation informed by the oversight visit. Yes. Thank you. Proceed.
Thank you once again, Chairperson. Chairperson, in light of the constitutional legal framework and the interpretation thereof, and in light of the circumstances as they are already laying themselves out, the appeal of the Gakisano Mulago municipality is to be heard by the Mahikeng High Court on the 6th of December 2019. And as we indicated in the previous engagement, in line with Section 18 of the Supreme Court Act, once a matter is appealed, the status quo remains, which means what was before the Gakisano Mulago judgment and its finding is no longer, it is in place as we speak right now, because there is a pending appeal. That is in terms of Section 18 of the Supreme Court Act. So, that being said, what is transpiring today is in fact, in terms of the legal framework, it's what's supposed to happen. Processes are going as if everything is under normal circumstances, which means if there is a decision to invoke Section 139 of the Constitution, it may proceed as if nothing else has happened to stop those processes as indicated in the Constitution. However, that being said, we need to keep in mind, as the MEC already pointed out, there's already a Section 100 intervention, because these are now two different interventions we are talking of. Section 100 is an intervention by national government imposing it within provincial government, whereas Section 139 is an intervention by provincial government imposing it against local government. In this instance, both of them have been imposed. Hence, I said this is an interesting situation. And that being the case, the MEC also pointed out correctly that his department is under Section 101A, which is basically a directive. If the minister from the cabinet or the whole cabinet collectively intervenes in a provincial government and indicates that their intervention is via the directive, that is different from an intervention of 1B, where the whole administration is under administration and assumed by the national cabinet. Hence, for the Northwest province, other departments, as we now understand, and in light of all the things that have transpired, other departments are under Section 101A, while other departments are under Section 101B. That only to create some legal uncertainties. For an example, if the premier of the province is under 1B, which is an assumption by national cabinet, in light of what Section 125 and other sections of the Constitution, which puts the premier as the head of the province, what must then happen? But that being said, and in light of all the legal frameworks that are pointed out, Section 18, the appeal process being underway, the clarity that the minister that is dealing with this intervention currently is under 1A and not 1B, my legal standing and position would be that the process must go as if the judgment is neither here nor there, because the Kagisano Mulapo judgment is being put on hold with all its findings and direction in light of the appeal. So until the appeal is heard and until the appeal decision is made by the appeal court, we are going back to the initial position as was before, which means the NCOP must proceed with all its functions in light of the Constitution as well as the select committees, which must make decisions in order to assist the plenary to make a decision whether to approve or not to go ahead with the strategy. I'm not sure whether Chairperson that answers to all the questions, or I'm not going to prepare for the full opinion that's already been presented previously and already been now in written form being communicated to the Office of the Chair and the Secretary. I will be at your mercy for direction.
I think let us finish with your matter, Somatla. I think it's straightforward. Any question pertaining to the legal opinion? To say in short, we can go ahead because of the pending court case of the 6th. Yes. Honorable Michalakis.
Thank you, Chair. I have only one simple question for the legal advisor, and that is that we've heard now that the notice was given of Section 139.1b intervention on the 6th of May. We did go and do the visit to the municipality, but the NCOB is still to approve it officially in the House. So the NCOB hasn't yet officially approved the Section 139(1)(b) intervention. Now the provincial administration wants to already go over to Section 139(1)(c) intervention, which the Constitution requires to be under exceptional circumstances. But we haven't finalized the 139(1)(b) process yet. What is the effect of that? Can it follow the 139(1)(b) intervention so quickly if it hasn't been approved yet? Because we all know, and there is legal precedence for this, that the court has in previous cases said that it is a process that needs to be followed. So you first do 139(1)(a), then B, then C. My opinion would be 139(1)(b) has not yet been concluded and finalized because the NCOP hasn't concluded its process in terms of the Constitution. So that process has to be finalized before you can even start intervening in terms of 139(1)(c). That would be my opinion, because the one has to follow the next. And you can't say that the next one can follow if the previous one hasn't been concluded in its entirety in terms of the Constitution. So I would just like to know whether you agree with that, and whether we need not perhaps finish the process of 139(1)(b) before we can actually start considering 139(1)(c). I just want to add on to that. I mean, we got notice of 139(1)(c) on the 9th of October. It's already a week later. So the 2 weeks that we have to veto this is already a week into it. So we only have a week left to say we don't agree with this, which makes our position as a select committee very difficult. So I would just like to know where you think we stand, like, in terms of finalizing B before we can actually start considering C. Thank you, Chair.
Any other questions?
In relation to that?
I was going to say, in her response, she must also take us through what are the basis in terms of the Constitution for a province to get to Section 139(b). Because we are dealing with a Section 139(1)(b), which we didn't finalize. Why we didn't finalize as the NCOP, the process is continued in the municipality. So that is why I am asking, what are those bases that causes the problem? So that when we discuss holistically the whole discussion, we are balanced. Thank
you.
I'm asking that same question differently. If we were not to do anything as the NCOP, and the 180 days lapses, What was going to be the status of the intervention in terms of B? Yeah, it's more or less the same question, but I'm ending there.
Thank you, honorable members, for those questions. It is crucial to be aware of the fact that the interim constitution created the position that was forcing that prior steps be complied with before any other steps are taken. Whereas the current constitution as it stands, it gives us the use of the word conjunction or, which means in the instances that once the provincial executive has looked into the circumstances and taken a resolution based on the merit of each case, they can choose to elect any of the options that are under 139. One, it can be A, it can be B, it can be C. This one, these instances it transpires and it keeps playing out. The members have correctly pointed out that 1B was invoked, and 1B has not followed or received all its compliance requirements. That being the case, and if the situation is continuing to be a dire situation, and the provincial executive has made such a finding or an assessment, and considering the fact that in the Constitution itself, the only jurisdictional fact that must be there or taken into account, which is also discretionary on the part of the one who must make a decision itself, you can dissolve if exceptional circumstances warrant such a step. That is not a decision for the NCOP or the Select Committee. That is the decision of the provincial authorities upon their own assessment. And for purposes of ensuring that the N2OP continues with its functions and powers, all they need is the information, which I believe the meeting today is about that, to assist them, gather sufficient information in order to make an informed decision whether to grant this approval or to disapprove the intervention in light of 139.1c. In light of the question Honorable Mita asked me here as to what are the factors for 1B to go ahead, I will just basically have to read the Constitution. It says, the provincial executive, the relevant provincial executive might intervene, may intervene by taking an appropriate step to ensure the fulfillment of that obligation which the local government has failed, including assuming responsibility, that is now just 1B, including assuming responsibility for the relevant obligation in that municipality to the extent necessary to Roman Figure 1. They want to maintain essential national standards, or they want to meet established minimum standards for the rendering of the service. And we've heard the MEC indicate that there are some services that have dismally failed. The citizens are not receiving those services anymore. And there are minimum standards that those services must be done and met following those minimum standards. So that's Roman Figure 1. The intervention and the assumption of the responsibility will be to ensure that at least minimum services are met when you are delivering the services, which is, there is an indication whether it was seen during the oversight or whether the MEC can confirm via further evidence, there's already an indication that in terms of delivering the services, there is a problem. Roman Figure 2, it says, they can assume responsibility for the relevant obligation where it is necessary to prevent that municipal council from taking unreasonable action that is prejudicial to the interest of another municipality or to the province as a whole. And in just from the evidence of the presentation, the MEC did mention something to the effect that there is some activities in respect of the funds and the banking of that specific municipality. That on its own, for me, is red alert. So those are the jurisdictional facts that pin the invocation of Section 139.1b. And if we look at the time frame already, the MEC indicated that the decision for 1B was taken already on the 1st of May. And then on the 6th of May, the processes in terms of compliance were begun, where the minister was informed and where the NCOP was also informed. In light of the question that the chairperson asked as to, in respect of the 180 days and allowing it to lapse and not making any decision, I doubt that is what the Constitution envisages and is indicating, especially now that we have found authority to say the decision of the Kakisano municipality
will not prohibit or hinder the processes, because there's Section 18 of the Supreme Court which put that judgment on hold pending a proper direction, and it takes us back to the initial status quo, which means we need to apply the Constitution as it stands, as if there was never a Kafisano Mudabo municipality. That being said, it means if the NCOP is not making a decision within 180 days, can there be a justification as to why that could not be the case? And I think that's about the legal question.
Okay. I think the legal opinion is clear. It has sufficiently addressed all the issues. And as I understand, there is nothing that prohibits us from proceeding forward. We see albeit not having adopted B, and I think that was the gist of the question. Can I now allow members to engage with the report? I said I move this way, and or must I start that way? Yeah, let me start with you, Honorable Mohammed Dangu, and that I'll take this line as well. All of you, you will be afforded an opportunity to speak.
Thank you very much. And having listened to the legal opinion, and having listened to the report and motivation from the province, there is a matter of urgency here. And I think that the NCOP will have to act as a matter of urgency in this instance to actually conclude this matter quickly. There are other outstanding matters that the NCOP must also conclude. Must also then, in parallel, be run urgently to be concluded as a separate matter and not be neglected as soon as possible. Even as the acting chief of the city here, if possible tomorrow, to run it through to be adopted. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Fayana, you'll need to ask Honorable Victor before she will. Honorable Fayana.
Honorable Chair, delegates from Northwest. You know, we have been there, Honorable Chair. We saw everything ourselves. And this exercise actually is just a waste of time. Actually, all of the MEC should have taken the decision one time ago. What we saw there with our own eyes, what we have experienced, is being validated. It's a shame in our country. Not all the kids, almost all of them was by the way visited when we were in Northwest. It's just a shame. I'm saying to you, Honorable MEC, keep it up. Give them 1391C. If anything better than that, give them. Because enough. Those counselors there, they wanted him to touch us. And I was even feel sorry for the chaplaincy, because the chaplaincy is a local guy. They know him so well. It was better for us because they don't know us. For you, Mr. Dutobu, they wanted to touch him. They were angry, furious. So I'm saying, in short, I support your decision, and everything you propose, I carry on.
Chair, I want to suppose, though, that they said this municipality is long overdue to be moved to Section 1391C. We saw it as the first speaker has alluded to it. And I just wonder why it was exonerated from the other municipalities that were one under one, because this was the Western Mall. The others were much better, those that were sitting in 13913, than this municipality. There are two mayors there, Chair. Everything is doubled. The building is collapsing. You could see that even the assets of the state there is at risk. People are doing what they want at any given moment in that municipality. It was even a risk for us to be in that building. to meet with tax not more than the community, it was bad, Chair. So I suppose, Chair, that this municipality needs to be resolved as a matter of urgency.
No.
No, thank you, Chair. Well, I want to repeat what my colleague said. Unfortunately, I was also part of the team that went there. I support everything that they said, but I just want to raise one thing. I've seen the debt in that municipality. I don't know what's going to happen in terms of the law, MEC, what's going to happen when this municipality is being dissolved. What's going to happen to all these debts? Surely if you go to something new, you don't want to touch on this page. And then the my second, it's not actually the question, let me see, it's, I think and even Chaperton, we shouldn't waste time, especially in those municipalities that we didn't test. We shouldn't waste time, especially where there is political instability among candidates. We shouldn't waste time. I think as my colleagues have said, needs the 139 as a matter of vision. I think the same should also follow with other municipalities where we said we're not going to get it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Mukausa?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm also not going to repeat what my colleague said. I also believe that the legal opinion that we received here is sufficient enough to also guide us on our conclusions moving forward. Political instability in the municipality and lack of delivery of services to the community is a clear indication that the municipality is economic collapse. So there's actually no point in trying to deliver it around this point. We did not actually even think twice. There's no municipality left. Municipality is not functioning at all. So I would rather from our side support that the municipality be involved and we deal with other issues as we move forward. And also moving forward, look at the issue of getting administration in place so that when we, after dissolving the municipality, we deal with by-elections and then the municipality, the administration is in place to plan ahead as to what's going to happen after by-elections. It was actually even unnecessary, but we had to, the government obviously had to follow necessary processes to place this municipality in that situation. But it's clear. It's not the intervention
needed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Honorable, thank you for the opportunity, Chair. Chair, I've got a question with regards to Section 13913 being referred to the NCOP, and the intervention team already started working on the 8th of July before the NCOP approved that 13913 being invoked. How does that work with the team being sent out to the municipality before getting approval from the NCOP? If you can maybe just explain the rules around that. I've got a question with regard to the equitable share that, according to my knowledge, is currently paid over to the district municipality and not being paid over to the municipality to work with. So the honourable member earlier mentioned that that really is me to not equitable share.
Yes, but
I'm referring to the equitable share, Chair. The honourable member earlier mentioned that we're going to sit with a big debt in that municipality. My question is, the equitable share that wasn't paid over to the municipality over the past few years, how is that applied? Is that fund still worth the district? Could that be used to settle the outstanding debt of the municipality? And there was one last thing. Yes, with regards to the by-elections, according to the IEC, in my knowledge, no election may be held 9 months prior to a national election. Maybe the legal team can advise us with regards to timelines. What's the latest date on which by-elections can and must be held in that specific municipality, since the administrator will be appointed for a period of up to 12 months, and we are looking at municipal elections coming 2021.
I think it misguided. But the law says within 90 days. The law says from if we say yes, the election must happen within 90 days.
Yes.
We'll come back to that clarify. Honorable Muller.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, MC, for your presentation. Chairperson, I agree with my colleagues that you must be for section 1913 because I was there in that municipality. It was a kind. And just imagine, Chairperson, our councillors closed the municipality and held the staff hostage. We are going to do with that municipality because that municipality, there's no municipality that is tended to that day. And the other thing, Chairperson, there should be the steps must be taken to the CFO who ignored the terms and reference of the administrator. Steps must be taken. And they must, I don't know if, did you open the case for the councillors? And I want to know when you are referring, when you are saying rented staff closed the municipality, were you saying the councillors? Were you referring to the councillors? Because I didn't understand. Here we said the councillors, and now we are talking about the rented staff, which is which. And my last question, you said, what is happening now? In flight 13, the provincial airport will appoint the administrator who will implement the intervention on its behalf with immediate effect subject to approval by the National Council of Provinces. What is happening now? Who is running the municipality as we are sitting here? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much. On our professor. I'm not speaking. Okay.
Do you mind if I go first?
Okay.
Okay, it's fine. Thank you very much. Chairperson, I just have a few points. The first one is, and I am going to quote to you from the department itself's guidelines for the application of section 100 and 139 of the Constitution, which firstly states, and I respectfully disagree on this point with the legal advisor, as one may from occasion to occasion, that it says, however, as outlined earlier, the constitutional court's view on intervention is that it is a process comprising of subsequent steps. This suggests that the solution cannot be the first step in the process. In other words, the Constitutional Court, according to the guidelines of the department, says that 139.1c needs to follow 139.1b. Cannot just go in and revoke 139.1c. The one has to follow the other. That is why I asked this question earlier, because this is a Constitutional Court view, and it's quoted directly from the guidelines of the department. So that's my first comment. My second comment is from the same manual. It says, dissolution without prior assumption of responsibility. If this dissolution indeed follows an assumption of responsibility, the provincial executive should, before resorting to dissolution, consider whether amendments to the assumption of responsibility provide opportunities for success. The following changes to the notice should be considered. Firstly, should the duration of the intervention not perhaps be extended? Should more functional areas be included for the administrator to deal with? Thirdly, should the division of powers between the administration and the council be redefined?
fourthly, should the powers of the administration administrator be increased? And fifthly, what is the competence of the administrator? So before you can actually move on to 159.1c, you first have to see what went wrong under 159.1b and how can you change that so that 159.1b can be successful. If you haven't made a proper assessment of why 139.1b didn't work and try to change it, it's premature to invoke 159.1c. This is not me saying this. This is actually coming from the department's guidelines. Now my question is, which of these things have you assessed to make sure that 159.1b is successful if the process of 159.1b is not even concluded? You have to conclude that process, make an assessment, and then say, we tried everything, we changed what we saw is not working, we gave it another chance, and then you can actually invoke 159.1c. Because the Constitutional Court says it is the last solution. Okay? On that point, my question to you is the following. I have serious doubts. We have heard, and I think there's not a single one of us who disagrees, the municipality is in a dire strait. The municipality is in serious problems. That's why we all agree on 159.1b. Something needs to be done to help the municipality. That's not the question before us today. That was the question when we considered whether you should actually intervene or not. The question before us today is whether 159.1b should be changed to 159.1c. It's not a question whether the municipality is functional. We know it's not. Our question is, what will be the best way to actually fix it? My question that I'm asking you is, what will 159.1c change? You're going to have an election a year and a half before a general election. You're going to appoint new councillors. You're going to appoint an administrator. Within 18 months or less even, you're going to have another general election. It's not going to contribute a local election. You're not going to contribute to the stability of the municipality. But despite of all the criticism that the council has received, and the council is not functioning properly, that's why you're intervening in it. Not a single word I've heard about the competence or not of the administrator.
Point of order, Chair.
And...
Yes, Chair. There is a point of order here. The point of order, Chair, is we went to this municipality under Section 139.1c. The issue of B is not nor here nor there. That is being discussed right now. So we are discussing here 139.1c, whether we are approved or disapproved. That's where I put a point of order, Chair. The B that he's talking about, we wouldn't even go there if it was if we were going to deal about the B. So we are now sitting in 139.1c, Chair, that we need to approve today. And we are approving that one.
That's
a legal opinion, Chair, that in my order, there is also a legal opinion that guides us. May we be not be taken backwards? Because it's wise that we attend this oversight. We were talking about the experience, Chair. Thank you very much.
If I understand what Honorable Nikamakis is doing, is to make a case, I'm not sure on behalf of the party or on his behalf, why C is not necessary, why he's not convinced that C is necessary given the circumstances, as I understand it. And I think we must allow him to make his point. Because at the end of the day, we are going to get responses from the MEC and express our own views in respect of everything that was discussed. He was about to round up, as I'm hearing.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
But I hear what you're saying, that we have dealt with him, we are now at C. And his point is that, no, don't do C, improve B. That's the essence. We'll come to that whether we agree with him or not.
Thank you, Chairperson. You summed it up very well. if you didn't make sure that you improved B and did everything and can say to us honestly that you did everything to make sure that B is successful, then you can't move over to C. If the administrator has failed, have you actually looked at the qualifications? Because I have reason to suspect that the administrator is not properly qualified. And I have very good reason for that. Have you looked at the qualifications? Have you looked at the reports that the administrator has sent in? Have you looked at the quality of administration that you have there? And could you improve on it or not? If you couldn't say, well, we can improve the administrator and the duties that he or she fulfills, then you can't say, well, we're moving over to the last resort, because you haven't exhausted all the others. But just to, Chairperson, assist the Honourable Member with great respect, the oversight that we did was on Section 139.1b, because the notice of 139.1c is dated the 9th of October, and our visit actually predates that. So the visit was on 139.1b in September, and the date of this letter requesting 139.1c actually is the 9th of October. So just to assist the member there, but the big point that I want to make is 139.1c, we know the municipality is in the problem. We know something needs to be done. That's, I think, with common cause. But is 139.1c going to make a difference and going to change anything? If the answer is no, then why are you invoking it? And I'm very worried in terms of this because of the timeline, so close to a municipal election. And also, I mean, you replace the councillors, but you're not replacing the administrator. And I have a big suspicion that if the administrator is responsible in that time for the administration of the municipality, then you can have whatever council you like. The administrator needs to be effective. And I didn't hear a single word on the effectiveness or not of the administrator, and therefore I'm respectfully of the opinion that we haven't concluded all the processes to actually say that we're going to move on to the final resort, which is what the Constitutional Court requires us to do. But I'll leave it over there for now. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I want to consult with my colleague and also ask about the administrator and the effectiveness of the administrator in that specific area. I know that in all the other municipalities, Swahili, for example, had in the past years had three administrators in one period. When an administrator doesn't get control of that municipality and do not apply, can comply with the specifics that is in his or her terms of reference, then they change the administrator. What I want to know is the forensic report. The reports from the administrator, we did not receive anything now new to say how far is the financial recovery plan and those things in that municipality. Is it enforced? I know there's not meet. I've spoken this morning to people that say there's no meetings, no nothing being held there, no good work relationship between administrator and council, etc., etc. But I also, in terms of service delivery and the importance for the people of Swaziland and Ekurhuleni, we have to take the right decision and not build chaos upon chaos. Because the next new ones that come in might be the same ones like Nakamudiri that have been re-elected, and the chaos will continue. Thank you.
No, Chair, thank you very much. And I was not part of the oversight. But it is very interesting in terms of the presentation, which I welcome from the MEC, that actually deals specifically what the constitutional obligation is from the side of the municipality. What they should have done and they did not do. But what is lacking is what is expected from province to have as in terms of the municipality. It does not reflect what part the province has played in supporting that particular municipality. It's very interesting. And also, when we sit here as honorable members,
we must really do what is best for that particular community. And my take has always been, I don't want to be part of, to be seen as being a part of fighting factional battles within the governing party in that particular municipality. And that seems to be the case. That seems to be the core. And instead of dealing with their councillors, they are using, you know, institutional mechanisms to fight their factional battles. Because now you say there's councillors that are not cooperating. Who are these councillors that are not cooperating? How is the composition of that particular council? Those are the kind of issues that we need to deal with. And also, like to mention what my colleague has been saying, if you have invoked Section 1391B, what has been the impediment of making sure that it succeeds? And also, I don't know because if you understand what has been written in the media about the IPC in that particular province and the local government in Otra, where several municipalities have been identified, which Mamusa is one of them, from the governing party that says we are going to dissolve that municipality. They have made that recommendation, and what is interesting now is that we as the select committee must actually just rubber stamp the decision that is already taken by them. Because the governing party said we are going to actually dissolve that municipality. It's out in the public. So they are just using this particular committee to actually just rubber stamp the decision that has been already taken by them. Thank you very much.
Chair, I think it's my turn.
It's okay.
Yes, Chair. And maybe also legal matters that here as well. Clearly, there was a decision by the executive on Section 101B. Sorry, 139.1B. That was taken around May. And obviously, they, you know, getting concurrent from the minister is one issue, but with the NPOP, it is a 180-day lapse. Within that time, in September, a decision gets, based on the situation as explained by the MEC, a decision then gets taken to change it to Section 139.1B. This is Section 100. I come from Impoko. My apologies. 13916. And once again, we have the 180-day lag around this issue. But clearly, based on the presentation and also in terms of observation of members, there seems to be some level of legitimacy in terms of moving from 1B to 1C. My question then to legal also is that the committee did go and do oversight in terms of verifying information around Section 1391B. And obviously they made the observations and I want to know the validity of that visit in relation to the current decision that we currently face with. My second question, Chair, goes to the MEC, and I think members have already alluded to some extent, because there is a requirement of an administrator or certain processes being in place. And I want to know, since the decision was taken and you got concurrence from the minister, what is currently in place? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to start by saying I hear most of the speakers, we are agreeing with Section 1390, but then the highlight of some areas that could be litigious in the process. I think let me put it that way. But I want to give the background as to why we are still discussing between Section 139B,
1B and section 139C. It is because us as NCOP, we were about to table the item, but due to the court case that was between Iprovin and Mamusa, and the third one, there are three of them, we have to hold our hostage until that process is finalized, so that we do not find ourselves in the wrong side of things. And remember, we are still within our 180 days as NCOP. So which means, Chair, I want also to lift the fact that the province, after we have not as NCOP contest or as agreed to their section 139B, they were supposed to suspend until we take a decision as NCOP. But we cannot rule out the fact that while we were still busy looking at legalities of the issue, things were happening in that municipality, at their doorstep as the province. In appreciation of what is happening in the municipality as we speak, the province has to take a further decision while we have not confirmed them. But what I want to remind also the House and disagree with my learned colleague, Nikaleka, it cannot be that the guidelines, they have its ending as against the Constitution. The Constitution is very clear that we have 180 days, and the province was not supposed to implement. Now the ball is in our court now as NCOP, which I think we have a right to first, as we have visited the province, to compile a report that talks to section 139B. And after it immediately, same report, it also talked to section 139C to say, as much as we didn't confirm then the section 139B, things have even went further. They stand still on local government services, and all the things that are tabulated here by the Office of the MEC and recommend section 139C, confirm 139C as the NCOP. I understand, in my view, it's personal view though, that why we do not have clear report from the province on what is happening at administrative level. Well, when I read their presentation, it's saying since they started, there were continued disruptions. They were unable to do anything as a province to continue changing the situation. Councils are not sitting, committees are not sitting, there's this standoff, there's this mayor and that mayor, so things were just not happening. So it was going to be impossible, in my view, for them to give us the analysis of what is happening administratively. So in conclusion, Chair, I am saying let us prepare a report that appreciates both reports, the report that we had in terms of our visit, and also the report that we are receiving, and confirm both things.
You know, I'm so reluctant to give you another bite. Everyone is going to want it before the responses. And I suggest that let us give them the opportunity.
May I make it a point of order?
Unless it's a point of order.
I'll make it a point of order.
Okay, yes.
Chairperson, I think the issue before us is on the board there. Conclusions and recommendations that is requested from the province of the NCOP to seize with and just either agree with or reject. Now, the conclusion and the recommendations of the point of order sets out very clear points, including that the EXCO will appoint an administrator who will implement the interventions on behalf with immediate effect, subject to the approval of the National Council of Provinces. Now, that's part of the recommendation. So, we'll go around in circles. There is a local authority in crisis. We are requested to make a decision. The decision is contained on pages 13 and 14. In page 13, I see, is on the screen. My recommendation is that we either agree with that or we disagree with that and leave it at that. My own view is we agree with that.
No, okay. It's fine. Let me see. Can you respond? There are a lot of questions, and I'll come later.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I want to indicate, though it is not stipulated in terms of legislation, that this municipality, we started with Section 13918, and Minister Mkhize was involved, and it was also per directive of Section 13918 that the department is under. And all municipalities were actually given directives to do certain things and do them correctly. We moved to Section 1391D, taking this decision on the basis of the support, and we immediately deployed after. And we are always careful, Chair, in terms of this decision and its implementation. The Constitution allows that 1D we can start with it. The minister has 28 days to work here, and NCOP has 180 days to look at the problem. After receiving the letter of the minister, and we waited so that we get the concurrence from the minister that we see things the way we see them, and we got that letter, is then that we deployed that, to the minister, and waiting for NCOP to come and do its work also. And administrator, we kept on assisting. One, some of the benefits is that we then manage as a province to assist the municipality to compile even the budget to deal with the AFS for them to be submitted to the general. It's province that actually has to send people there to work on them. It's not the municipality itself. And auditor general is auditing. And because of the situation there, I must tell the house that books of that municipality are audited at Portugal, because the auditor, AG himself, could not really feel safe there in terms of the situation there. And that is going on. Why we say, and we want to say this is not a party issue. One honorable member said maybe we want to address sections. There are no sections that we want to address. And I'm saying this also as a politician. The same councillors is a multi-party issue, that even councillors of other parties participated in wrong meetings that are against their own court of law, rules of order. And they participate and take some of these decisions. You can't believe when the mayor, the then second mayor, came here to present at the COPA with the administrator. When he was in Cape Town, a meeting was called to remove him. Same thing. And who attended, including all councillors, either come from ANC, DA, or EFF. That's what they do, councillors of the ANC. And that's why he said, now we must touch them. And one thing for sure is touching one councillor who are actually obstructing to deliver services to the people. And they are supposed to be the one leading the process of service delivery. So other things share here, I support. You have explained the issue of 180, that we don't have to wait for 180. We implement. And of course, you have the right to come and say, no, it was wrong, then we stop. So we're following that route. The issue of, I think, Chair, I agree with members that we have to demonstrate in one report, in the form of a report or whatever, the work that has been done at that particular municipality, much as all of them. And we'll be willing, Chair, I'll be the first one to agree in case we are invited to come and present a report on all those municipalities under intervention, what was the situation, what was the terms of reference, how, what has been achieved, what has not been achieved. We are ready, I'm more than ready to come and help to do that. We send team to municipality, Chair, we don't only sign one person. We are ready, we are now about to, the person who was assisting with AFS, to send that person as a financial expert to practice that municipality. And our provincial treasury has already finalized this particular matter. We want to send also, now we have realized we need to, as part of the package, send a technical person so that we can be able to deal with this transfer of skills from district. District has been performing using their league fund. It needs to come to the municipality, so they must be ordered. And we want to assure that by the time we leave, we must have completed the top management of this municipality, ensuring that it is in order, so that they are able to take us through at the end of the intervention. The issue of councillor chair, those who visited in the municipalities as members of the NCOP will tell you that people who were actually standing up to this, just close to the table there, were councillors of the municipality. Not people coming from outside. Same councillors were disrupting the message. What else must we do? If councillors are the ones being there, the only thing to do, send them home. They are not doing their way. So we'll keep on assessing and coming back to the house. The effectiveness of the administration, as I said, in case, if you approve here, there is administration, because there was a question, what has been happening? There was administrator there. The administrator is still in place, no matter how difficult. Sometimes he has to go to offices using this police being closer for their safety sake. We have been doing that, but that administrator is there. It's for us, if we put municipality under 139-1C, whether we retain the same person in terms of increasing the mandate, or we bring in somebody given the conditions, whatever. That is the province would actually take that particular decision. And also package that comes with that particular administrator. I said we don't send one person. Province is supporting this municipality, Chair. It's very close in providing the support to this municipality. Even in terms of delivery, when there is blockage of sewage, last time we had to, as a province, literally get a sewer jet and do all those things to assist them in this place. It's what we have been doing. Over and above support on policy matters, compliance issues that we provide, we are providing support there. I am committed to the fact that we are not using this to address such an event. The issue of this matter share being on space, if it's a report that have leaked and honorable member has seen, I will not comment much on it. But the reality is that the situation is taking for itself, for intervention to happen. And members have seen that. So I have alluded, I think Chair has tried to summarize the questions that were asked, because most were statements concurring and indicating that the issue of equitable share, you know, the district is the water services authority. So we might be confusing with what goes to the district on behalf of municipality for three basic services. Because that's the only thing that should go to the district for free basic services in terms of water. Because the district is the water service authority. And a district has signed a memorandum with the locals as the water service authority, service level agreement. Of course, in Mamusa, they are not working because the situation is bad. These things have to be driven from a political point of view. and they are not being in that particular way. So Chair, those are the things, if we had to write more, we will still provide the necessary information that the committee might need in the near future. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable MEC. I think the situation is very clear. It is a dire situation that requires a concomitant intervention. We specifically invited the legal division to advise us whether we are on track, and it is clear that we are on track in respect of saying that the situation obtains as if there was no judgment on this particular matter between Kagisano Molopo and the provincial government of the Northwest. Yes, we undertook a visit to the municipality in relation to the imperatives of Section 1391B of the Constitution. Yes, we have not, as this committee, presented a report to Council, to the House, to decide whether we approve or disapprove the intervention. But members would know and appreciate the fact that we have to be careful in terms of everything that we were doing because of the litigation, because of the case, because of all those particular issues that we had to verify before we take a decision. Now we are here. Where to from here? Where to is the fact that within 14 days, the law requires the House, the NCOP, that within 14 days, we must decide whether we approve or disapprove the intervention in terms of Section 1391C, that is the dissolution of the municipality. I think Honorable Mikalakis has raised a point that I think also the MEC spoke to. And the point is, are there exceptional circumstances which warrant the dissolution of the municipality? And for me, sitting here as the chair, I understand that is a yardstick, that is a determining factor to say, are there exceptional circumstances which require us to invoke Section 1391C of the Constitution? I think, as Honorable Mikalaki said, all of us agree that the situation is bad. We all agree that the situation has got to be turned around. It has got to be improved. And we all agree that whatever that we do has got to follow the law, and we have got to do it quite appropriately, quite correctly, so that there are no problems. Now the issue for me sitting here as the chair is, from B to C, what happened? The situation has gone worse. From bad to worse, which warrants the necessary intervention. And for me, the issue is, has the province articulated the fact that the situation warrants that intervention is exceptional? The circumstances are exceptional, which warrant the intervention. And my view is that yes, they do. Now, based on this, I think we need to take a decision, because we've got to go to Council, to the House, and say to the House, from B to C, was the situation warranted? And are we satisfied that, yes, it was warranted, and therefore take a decision along those particular lines? I will, based on this understanding, allow parties to express themselves once more as political parties, to express themselves so that we round up the issue and take a decision about where we stand. Where do I start? Or DA? Let's start there.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I have two very burning issues. The one is, not only in this province, but all around. I know of municipalities which have been under Section 139(1)(b) for much longer, and they're still continuing to be so. The decision wasn't made to put them under 139(1)(c). And the situation over there, in many of these municipalities, is very similar. You have a problematic council, you have an incompetent administrator, but they continue for months and months and months and months to be... My question is...
Let us deal with the issue at hand.
I'll make it
because there is no point in referring to other municipality. We can only intervene if they come to our to our presence. Let us deal with Mabusa as it were.
That's all right.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is the quote is often given, we're a unitary state. We need to be consequent or consistent. My question really is, and this bothers me, what makes this municipality different? That is how I make it relevant to this specific municipality. Now, I leave that point aside. Where I am currently standing, I find it problematic that, and the MEC said, and I really appreciate it undertaking in that regard, to bring a report to us to say exactly what has been done and how this intervention would not be different or more effective under a better qualified administrator. I would like to get that report from the MEC, and I would really like to study it. Now, if a report like that would come to us, and it says, well, we've tried absolutely everything, and there is literally no other...
But there are people who are calling to order. That's what it means. I'm starting the meeting. There are people who are calling to order and allow you to do that, to speak. But the fact of the matter is that we are expected that within a week from now, we must make a decision whether we agree with the province or not. And we all know that. And we all, as I indicated, the test here is, are there exceptional circumstances which warrant the dissolution of the municipality? And I've answered that question. That in my view, sitting here, yes, and specifically with regard to Mamusa. Let us not go there and touch there and touch there. Let us talk to the issue that is on the table. And the issue is, whether do we agree or we do not agree? That is the question. Let us not bring other issues. We know that this thing has got serious implications for all of us. It means for the next 90 days, it is elections. A new council is going to be elected. It has so many, many implications for all of us. And we know what it means. But we do not want to go there. All that I want us to do is give political parties to express themselves, to say whether do we agree or we do not agree. As easy as that, given the discussions that have ensued already. That is where we are.
Again, with due respect, you're asking me firstly to express my view, which I am doing, and I'm trying to do it as productive and as progressively as possible. But you're asking me to indicate to you whether I believe exceptional circumstances exist. And I'm trying to explain to you why I think they do not. So please bear with me. What I'm saying is I do not believe that exceptional circumstances exist, because there is nothing before me that actually convinces me of that, because there's nothing before me that shows that absolutely everything has been tried to make 139(1)(b) work. Now, the MEC has indicated that they can actually provide us with a report that can prove that. And under those circumstances, I would be satisfied or not. Now, to move the process forward, I would make the following suggestion, because I'm very well aware that we only have 1 week. My position is the following. The municipality is going nowhere. If the administration is controlled correctly, then actually you as the MEC already have Section 139(1)(b) invoked. We can't within the next week get that report. My proposal would be that we use the veto for now. We get the MEC to provide us with a report indicating that every single last thing has been tried to make 139(b) work. And if the MEC then, in that report, convinces us that this is indeed exceptional circumstances, then 139(1)(c) can again be applied for. That would be my proposal, Chairperson, with respect, but at this stage I can't say that there are exceptional circumstances. Thank you.
That's not how I understood the MEC to be saying. He has submitted the report on the 9th of October. Here is the report with us. And it addresses all these particular issues. My understanding was that I will give further information on top of the information that is already available. That's how I understood it. Because here is the report. The report does indicate what happened during B and why are they going for C. And on top of that, there is a presentation that was submitted before us. The information is there, but if there is more other information that is required, that is how I understood the MEC to be saying. But I understand the view of the DA. The DA says, no, we can't under the circumstances accept C. That's easier than that. And I understand that and I respect.
Chairperson, I apologize. I misunderstood yes. that. Then I would like to indicate after your explanation that I am not convinced that the report includes exceptional circumstances, and I'm also not convinced that the process of 139(1)(b) has properly been concluded, so we can't...
Okay, it's okay. I understand. I've understood you to say that. Honorable Vajera, are you still on your way?
Chairperson, the only thing I like about C is that C might give us new leadership in the next part.
Yes.
So without new leadership, the municipality is in the bad news.
Okay.
So please go for it.
Thank you very much. Honorable Zandaman.
No, thank you, Chair. You know, fortunately, as I said earlier on, I was there. I saw for myself what's happening. So my view is not like someone who was sitting somewhere here in the town. So that municipality needs a serious change. There's serious problems there. The leadership in that municipality, they no longer respect their responsibility. So they must go. Let the people give the fresh mandate to that
Honorable
Dittman,
are you
still
in your wet?
Thank you for the opportunity. Chair, I believe that intervention must take place. I do believe that we must, however, as alluded in the reports of SALDA as well as National Treasury, and I think the Financial Fiscal Committee also mentioned that there must be a vetting for the administrator that is appointed. Secondly, there must also be a performance report for that administrator, because up to now, most of the municipalities didn't perform that well after the appointment of that administrator. So I think that should be the prescripts on which an administrator must be appointed in any municipality. If you can make that clear.
And that you support?
But you support?
I do support it, yes.
Yes. Who will speak on behalf of the ANC? Ms. Mola or you? Okay.
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, I think based on the presentation or the report that you've received from the executive member. And also in terms of what our colleagues are saying in terms of their observations in that municipality, I am one of the members who was not part of the visit. But Chair, I think based on the two facts and the content thereof, especially of the report from the MEC, I think we agree that with the Section 139(1)(b).
Without further ado, I think the view of this committee is that it supports
the overwhelming view is that they support the invocation of Section 1391C to MAMUSA, and that a report must be tabled before the House in respect of the situation, and this report must sketch out the whole background, and this background must include what happened during B, the oversight visit, as well as the legal opinion in this particular instance. But I think members as well are saying that the province must do everything in its power to normalize and stabilize the situation. If the administrator is appointed, it must be a competent, reliable administrator who is going to handle the issues quite appropriately in the next 3 months as the municipality is dissolved, and therefore new elections are held during the intervening period, and all other outstanding issues must be attended to the benefit of the people of MAMUSA. I see the hand. Honorable Nicolaides.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I at this point please request that the dissenting view also be included in the report as per the rules of council?
Okay, fine. We'll include that fact that all the parties agree except the DA. Is that okay? All right, thank you very much. Let me say that we conclude the meeting, and I really appreciate the efforts and the work of the MEC to deal with the issues, and really thank you and your team to always be available to respond to us in this challenging moment of the issues that we are discussing, that you always respond accordingly and attend to this meeting. And also thank the legal team of the Parliament, that they are always there, available to give us that support, that opinion about the issues that are confronting us. On that note, the meeting is adjourned, and thank you very much. All right.